You're listening to The Leonard LoPate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Eggplant is a staple in many cuisines, and the deep purple fruit, yes, it is technically a fruit, not a vegetable, is known to be versatile, but it can also be intimidating to find ways to prepare it well. Who better to help us figure that out than Melissa Clark? She writes the New York Times dining section columns A Good Appetite and Restaurant Takeaway, and she's the author of around 36 cookbooks. Her most recent is Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes You Can't Wait to Make. It's published by Hyperion. Melissa, welcome back to our show.
Why, thank you.
And we invite our listeners to join the conversation. If you have questions or suggestions to share, you can call us at 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook and Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard LoPate. So, Melissa, eggplant comes in a variety of shapes and sizes. It can be white, light purple, more common dark purple. Do these varieties taste all that different?
They do. Actually, each eggplant variety has its own flavor profile, and which is really good for the cook, because if you know what kind of dish, what kind of result you want from the eggplant, it helps you when you're in the market. So you know, okay, which kind of eggplant should I choose? Generally speaking, the smaller the eggplant, the more dense the flesh, the fewer the seeds, and the less bitter. So always look for smaller rather than big eggplant. People think, oh, I should get the big one, but not necessarily. In terms of variety, you really have to know each kind of eggplant variety. I think the long, thin ones, they're...
That you see in Asian markets.
Yeah, Asian markets. Chinese, Japanese, there are some Italian varieties that are long and thin. Those also tend to be a little bit... have denser flesh, a little bit sweeter, and they also have thinner skins, which is really important if you want to eat the skin. And eggplant skin is incredibly good for you. That's where all the antioxidants are. So if you can eat the skin, I'd say buy a long, thin eggplant that has a thin skin.
And can you just use it in any kind of eggplant recipe, or should you try to pair it with Asian flavors like ginger, soy sauce, fish sauce?
You know, you can pretty much do anything to any kind of eggplant. The flesh is neutral enough that it's going to take well to whatever seasonings you're going to use. I mean, yeah, if you're going for that type of flavoring and that's in your mind, you say, okay, I'm going to do ginger and garlic and fish sauce and soy sauce or something, then you might as well look for an Asian eggplant. But even if you just have a big old Italian eggplant, you can still use that flavor profile. It's going to work just fine.
And is that why eggplant seems to work so well in Indian food, Southern Italian, Greek, Middle Eastern cuisines, as well as Asian?
See, so many people love eggplant. Look at all those countries.
And not me.
I've never understood
why. Well, I don't know. It's one of those things when you're a kid, you just decide you don't like something. I overcame most of those dislikes. Uh-huh. And I've eaten eggplant a lot. But for some reason, in the back of my head, if I had to choose between eggplant and something else on the menu, it's not going to be eggplant.
So if you went to someone's house and they served you eggplant, you'd be good-natured about it. You'd be like, oh, eggplant.
No,
but you wouldn't
seek
it out.
In fact, I might enjoy it.
Right. Do you cook it ever?
I don't cook it, no.
Never. Okay.
But it's in the house often. People describe it as being meaty. Do you think it can be a good substitute for meat, as in eggplant parmesan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of the great things about eggplant is its texture. It's got a meaty texture, and there's a big debate about whether you should salt eggplant or not. I figure you're going to come to that eventually,
yes.
So let's just bring it up right now. Salting eggplant draws out the moisture and makes it even meatier. So if you are using it as a meat substitute or you just want a nice, firm, dense texture, you should salt your eggplant. However, you don't have to salt your eggplant. So if you're wondering out there whether you should salt or not salt in general, the answer is about texture, not about flavor. Salt will season it, but the idea that it draws out the bitterness in the types of eggplants we get today, the types of cultivars, you don't have to worry about that. They're just not that bitter. So that's a moot point, but it is good for texture.
Well, they say that you should salt it and slice it and then salt it and then let it drain for a while before you cook with it.
Yes, and that will – and another good thing about the salt is that it will help the eggplant – eggplant will absorb a ton of oil. You know, however much oil you cook it in, it'll absorb it like a sponge unless you salt it. If you salt your eggplant first, it will actually absorb a little bit less oil. So that's another reason to salt it.
You talked about the thin skin. Now, some eggplants have very thick skin. Can we cook with it nonetheless?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the skin if you know that you don't really want that thick skin can be chewy. So if you know, okay, I don't really want that chewy texture in my dish, I'm going to peel it. That's fine. I actually like the chewiness of eggplant skin. Call me crazy. But I think that it's a really interesting textural contrast, especially with fried eggplant, because you fry it, you've got that dense meatiness, and then you've got the chewiness on the outside. And I think it works really well together in one bite.
Some people don't like the fact that eggplant can be kind of spongy.
Yes. Is that your complaint?
I have no idea. It's really something you're going to have to talk to the five-year-old Leonard Lopez about. But is there a way to take advantage of that?
Yes, for sure. I mean, if you like, I mean, the sponginess is high moisture content, right? And so if you like that and you want that sponginess, which will turn into a very velvety, soft texture once it's cooked. I mean, it's spongy if it's undercooked or if it's raw. But when you cook that eggplant, unsalted, nice, moist eggplant properly, you could steam it, you could roast it, it becomes like velvet on the inside. It's like almost like pudding. It's so soft and rich. And so it actually will work to your advantage.
What about marinating it?
Great. Again, it'll soak up a lot of flavor. If you have salt in the marinade, it will soak up the flavor of the marinade, and it will also, you can get rid of some of the water in there, and so you get sort of a win-win. You know, you take in the flavor, expel the water.
And because it's watery, it grills well.
Yes. Oh, you know what I made last week? This was one of my, I mean, it's typical eggplant salad that many people make, but it just worked out so well this time. I took eggplants and I used very thin, long eggplants. They were actually overgrown fairy tale eggplants, and they were nice and soft, soft-skinned, meaty on the inside. I grilled them, no oil, just put them straight on the grill. And when they collapsed, I mashed them and I made them into a Greek-style dip with Greek yogurt and garlic and herbs. But I left the skin on half of them, which was interesting because the skin was so fine and so thin, it added a wonderful smoky flavor. I didn't leave all the skin on, just a little bit of it to give it. And it had black flecks, which I didn't mind. But it really had this intense smoky flavor. And I think that's probably how I'm going to make my eggplant salads from now on.
Well, we have a caller who is thinking about baba ghanoush, which is
related
to what you're talking about. Dina from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I was wondering, can you give us a quick recipe on how to make baba ghanoush? You know, that is very popular now along with hummus. And I was wondering, what kind of eggplant do you choose? And can you use kosher salt in that process you were talking about of taking out the water from it?
Absolutely. Well, for baba ghanoush, you don't even have to drain your egg. You don't have to salt your eggplant at all, because really what you want to do is roast it. Or do you have access to a grill?
No.
Okay, so then you want to roast it at high heat. Just take your eggplant, you can use any kind of eggplant, really. Go to the market and see what looks good. It doesn't really matter for baba ghanoush, because you're going to roast it until it basically collapses in on itself. So stick it in the oven. You don't need to prick it. Don't take a fork to it. Just leave it whole. Put it on a baking tray. I like to line it with foil because it does get kind of messy. And bake it at around 400 or 425 until it absolutely collapses, like you've taken all the air out of it. Let it cool. Just pull off the skin. You can pull the flesh right out of it. And you take that eggplant flesh, and it's already pureed for you. All you have to do is mix it up with a little tahini, which is a sesame paste, some lemon juice, some fresh garlic, and that pretty much is it. You can add herbs, you can add scallions, but at the essence, it's the eggplant, the lemon, and the tahini.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
What about eggplant caviar, a favorite of French cuisine?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that. You know, I feel like every culture that loves eggplant has some version of an eggplant salad, right? So we've got, you know, the baba ghanoush in particularly in Lebanon, in the Middle East. We have Greek eggplant salad made with yogurt. We have Indian eggplant salads. We have Italian, you know, eggplant dip, which is very piquant with olives, and sometimes it has a little sweetness to it. And then, of course, you have eggplant caviar, which is it's very herbal, has olive oil in it. Eggplant will do anything you want it to do. You can make up your own eggplant salad too. Just take your eggplant, roast it until it, you know, plotzes. Scoop it out and then flavor it with even just plain old mayonnaise, and you will have something so delicious.
Well, eggplant caviar uses the seeds, doesn't it?
Well, yes, you leave the seeds in, and they're part of the textural contrast for sure.
Let's take another call. This one is from Ian in Brooklyn. Hi, Ian, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Leonard. One of the ways I discovered eggplant was as a teen. I went to an Italian restaurant, and I ordered a chicken parm. And obviously I got the wrong order, because they gave me an eggplant parm instead. And from that day on, I've been hooked. But one of the things about eggplant, and I don't know if this is maybe your experience, but when eggplant is cut too thick, you know, it really has a spongy taste, and it's like it chews forever.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of the things I like, because not everyone cooks it the same. Some, I know, chef once told me, if you're going to bread eggplant and fry it to make Parmesan, to kind of half freeze it and cut it, you know, half frozen, so you have more control over how thick or thin that you can, you know, your slices are.
Oh, interesting.
And that's one of the things that turns me off. Is that
but doesn't freezing off. Change the texture?
Yeah, I would think.
Especially something that has as much water in it as,
you know, that's interesting. That's a really interesting point about freezing it, because freezing it, what it does is it breaks down the cell walls, right? So you're going to lose a lot of moisture. Maybe that's a good thing with eggplant. Maybe it's actually going to improve its texture and make it meatier. Instead of salting it, you could freeze it. You know, that is real. Has anyone else out there tried that? Thank you for that tip. That's really interesting. I'm going to go home and freeze some eggplants as soon as I leave here, because I have to try that. You know, have you ever made stuffed cabbage with frozen cabbage leaves? Instead of blanching them, you put your cabbage in the freezer, your cabbage leaves in the freezer, you freeze them, take them out, and then they'll fall apart. They'll be tender just as if you had blanched them, but it's easier.
You're wilting them in a way.
Yeah, you're wilting them. Exactly. You're using the freezer to break down the cell walls.
Thank you for calling us, Ian.
That was great.
What about eating eggplant raw?
You know, you can do it. It's not going to hurt you, although even though it is from the deadly nightshade family, raw eggplant is perfectly fine to eat. I have eaten very tender, very young, fresh raw eggplant in a salad with olive oil, and it's actually been delicious. I'd say it's not my first choice, but in the right circumstance.
That's probably what happened. I probably ate it raw first.
Oh, gosh, really? Why would anybody give you raw eggplant? A little 5-year-old?
You don't know the way my mother cooked.
Oh.
Antonio left this question on our show page. He says, I dislike eggplant, but my girlfriend Barbara loves it. I'm glad he told us his girlfriend's name.
Good, we can refer to her.
Are there any other fruits, vegetables, spices, or cooking styles that may bring out a different flavor rather than the one that I
Oh, we're going. You know what? You're a good sport for trying to actually like something that your girlfriend likes too. So I applaud you for trying. Eggplant doesn't really taste like much. I mean, that's the thing. It has a mild flavor, but you can really disguise it. Oh, in fact, there's this dish in Sicily where they make a sweet eggplant dish. Have you ever heard of this? It's like a lasagna, but instead of using savory ricotta, they sweeten the ricotta cheese, and then they serve it for dessert. So you could try something like that. I don't know if your girlfriend would go for it, but possibility.
Another person named Melissa left this question on
a
show page. I love eggplant, but it makes my mouth itch.
Yes.
Does your guest know of any varieties that carry less of the allergen than the generic dark purple variety?
You know, that's interesting. I know some people do have that reaction to eggplant. I wonder if the white ones would be more gentle. I wonder if they would have less. I don't know exactly what chemical causes the itching. If anyone out there does know it and has the answer to this, that would be great if you could let us know. So I actually don't know the answer, but I would try the white one just to see if it made a difference. Incidentally, do you know why eggplants are called eggplants? Because the first varieties were white. They were all those, and they looked just like eggs. And then now we have all different varieties. But that's where the name comes from.
And where do they originate? Do we know?
We do know.
And
I don't remember. No, I'm sorry. I don't. Someone out there does know, though. I wish I could tell you.
Melissa Clark, whose New York Times dining section columns, A Good Appetite and Restaurant Takeaway, appear on Wednesdays in that newspaper. The author of around 36 cookbooks, the most recent one, Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes You Can't Wait to Make. It's published by Hyperion. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll take more of your calls. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can write us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. We are back with Melissa Clark. She writes the New York Times dining section columns, A Good Appetite and Restaurant Takeaway. Her most recent of her 36 or so cookbooks is Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Recipes You Can't Wait to Make. It's published by Hyperion. And today we're talking about eggplant, which we are discovering a lot of people are writing in, I don't like it either. So,
oh, really? Are people writing
which is,
that in?
Which is so strange, you know, because as you pointed out, it doesn't have the most powerful flavor. It isn't like saying I don't like
anchovies.
Coriander.
or cilantro, exactly, which a lot of people don't like. I do think people are prejudiced against it because of their five-year-old selves. I think you hit on it exactly when you said that before. It's something which appears maybe not delicious when you are small, but then hopefully you grow up to love it. I've always loved it. You know why I've always loved it? I think the first way we should give our children eggplant is deep fried, right? Because, like, who wouldn't love that? And then you would just always love eggplant.
Now, you just bread it the same way that you would bread a piece of veal or chicken?
Yeah, you could. You could bread it. You don't even have to.
Eggplant,
you could do
parmesan.
Yeah, or you could do a tempura batter, a really light batter. Or you can just even just throw it in the oil with just a little bit of flour on it. And, you know, I would salt it first. I would actually try to get a nice meaty texture on that. But I think that if we started there, then we'd have a lot more eggplant lovers.
Brooke in Brooklyn... Oh, that's appropriate.
Good. Yeah.
Left this comment on our show page. She says, my fiance and I lived in Israel for a year, and one of our favorite recipes is grilled eggplant with tomatoes, chopped onion, and lots of tahini.
That
delicious.
Sounds great. It's almost like, well, I guess to have the tahini on the outside of the eggplant as opposed to mashed up into a salad sounds a little bit like a deconstructed baba ganoush, except, of course, you've got the tomatoes there, too. I like that idea. I like the idea of having them separate. And, of course, grilled eggplant is just one of those things. Grilled or roasted eggplant is one of those things where if you just put a little oil on it for roasting or even just throw it right on the grill, salt it, it can become the base of whatever dressing you want to put on it. So, again, just whatever flavors you want to match to your meal or whatever you're in the mood for, eggplant is going to be happy with it.
VJ from Nassau, Long Island. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Lupin, you just asked a question to your, host, where it originated from. I'm from India, and it originated in India.
Oh, okay.
And the local name there is Brinjal. I don't know the source of that name. Probably it may be a Sanskrit name for the vegetable, but that's where it originated.
And the eggplants that you grew up with, were they the white kind?
Were they? I'm sorry, I didn't catch your question.
What was the color of the eggplant that you grew up eating?
We used to see all different colors. Mainly it was purple and then white eggplant. And I never liked it growing up till I got introduced to eggplant parmesan here in New York.
So you didn't like the Indian kind. You had to eat eggplant parmesan.
See, fried eggplant. It should be the gateway.
Well, frying does make a lot of things taste good. I'm told, yes, it probably comes from, it was domesticated originally in Asia, probably India, then in China, Thailand, uh-huh. Burma, Southeast Asia.
And then made its way
And then
over
I guess, like so
Europe,
many
yeah.
things, it just... moves and mm-hmm. and then it's interesting how in this case fruit
yes
change when they're planted in different places. For example, all the chilies that come from Mesoamerica, when you look at the chilies that come from Turkey or mm-hmm. Italy, it's the same. They originated in Mesoamerica and now they are totally different. The chilies in Thailand are nothing like the chilies in Mexico.
I know, which is what's so wonderful about it. You just get, you know, you start with one thing and then you just watch it develop, grow, and change, and you have so many different varieties. What's interesting about eggplant is it seems that in places where it's an older part of the culture, it is maybe possibly more beloved. I mean, I know that people in India love their eggplant.
Except VJ.
Not everybody. I'm going to convert people. I really hope by the end of the show I'll have some people out there who maybe will give it another chance.
Let's take another call. This one is Daniel from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on the air. Daniel, are you there?
Oh, wait, hold on a second. I'm on the Leonard Lopez show.
Yes, you are.
Hello.
Everybody's hearing this.
Hello.
Yes, Daniel.
Hi. I usually don't call in, but I'm very passionate about eggplants, and I've loved them since I was a small child. Loved them on pizza. Loved them in Chinese restaurants where they serve them with a little bit of oyster sauce hit mm-hmm. from the wok at a very high heat. It kind of tastes like candy. And I thought I had eggplant every single way possible until I was at my favorite sandwich shop in Burlington, Vermont, Four Corners of the Earth Sandwich Shop, which you must pay a visit if you're in the area. And the fellow there, his name is Bob Flo, he does all sorts of odd pairings on these sort of delicious, fresh, toasted sandwiches. And he gave me a new one he was experimenting with. It was eggplant. I forgot exactly what he paired the eggplant with, but the way he prepared it was he drizzled honey over the eggplant and then grilled the eggplant on the panini press.
Wait, he drizzled what over it?
He drizzled honey over it, so he marinated honey.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds absolutely wonderful.
Thank you so much for your call. You know, as I hear these people, I think that the reason I probably didn't like it when I was a kid was it struck me as slimy.
Yes, I can see that. It's like, what about okra? Where are you on okra?
Same thing.
So you're on okra. Yeah, I can understand that too, and that's why the deep frying thing. Like, if you start there and then... But, you know, that's part of its charm when you want something very soft, such as an eggplant dip, like a baba ganoush. I mean, you could call it slimy. I prefer to call it velvety and silky.
Well, I've grown up, and my vocabulary has expanded. Ingrid from New Jersey, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a delicious recipe called Iranian eggplant, which has raisins and pistachio nuts in it. It's one large eggplant peel, 2 tablespoons shortening, 1 pound ground beef or lamb, 1/2 cup sliced onions, 2 cups canned tomatoes, 1 cup seedless raisins, 1 cup pistachio nuts, salt and pepper.
Now, where did you get this recipe?
Well, believe it or not, it's it's from the America's Cookbook. It's over 50 years old, compiled by the Herald Tribune Home Institute. Remember that, the Herald Tribune?
Oh, wow. That sounds wonderful.
It is very, very delicious. You cook it in the oven, and you layer it, and you cook it for 30 minutes. You brown the eggplant, and mm-hmm. you do some browning of the other ingredients and heating, and then you layer it and put it in the oven. It's absolutely delicious.
Thank you.
And if you have people who react negatively to Iranian, you can call it Persian eggplant.
Thank you so much for calling and sharing us.
It sounds great. That's, again, like another layered, you know, eggplant parmesan type dish or eggplant lasagna. I think layering eggplant in the oven is another really good way to go because it allows the flavors to really concentrate.
And from Manhattan, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Firstly, Miss Clark is just my favorite food writer. I've used dozens of her recipes, never had a failure, never was disappointed. My question is, I made an eggplant, smoky eggplant soup from a recipe just last week, I think, from the Times, and I've got 2 quarts of it at least. It's delicious, but it's bland.
Mm.
And it had garlic, it had some onions, it had some other things. Something called za'atar, which I was not able to find at any of the stores.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out what can I do to salvage it and make it a little more tasty.
Okay, that's so interesting about the za'atar because that's why it's bland, because it doesn't have that key ingredient. And za'atar is a combination of dried herbs, including oregano, thyme. Sometimes it has a little sesame in it, and sometimes it can have salt, it can have sumac, and it's ground up, and it has a ton of flavor. So what I would do, and it can be hard to find, what I would do if I were you is I would, when you serve it, I would make I would do a fresh za'atar oil. Okay. I'm just making this up off the top of my head, but this is what I would do. I would take sesame oil, and I would heat it very gently in a pan and add fresh oregano and fresh thyme and some salt. And just let it get a little bit warm so that the aromatics come out. Maybe pound it up a little bit, you know. And then I would drizzle that on top of the soup before you serve it. I think that's going to add a lot of flavor. That's the missing flavor for you. I think that's pretty easy, right? Or you could use olive oil. Olive oil.
Yeah, the recipe calls for olive oil and lemon, fresh lemon, just before you serve it. But even with that, it was still a little bland. So
yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Try it, and you know what? Let us know how it comes out. You can tweet us, or you can write to me at the Times. But thank you for your kind words.
And This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lope, talking with Melissa Clark of the New York Times, among other publications. She does write the New York Times dining section columns, A Good Appetite and Restaurant Takeaway. And her latest cookbook is Cook This Now, 120 Easy and Delicious Dishes You Can't Wait to Make, published by Hyperion. We're going to put a familiar voice for listeners to this show on now. Larry Ubel, hi.
Hi, Leonard. Melissa, I love listening to you on the show. You're fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
But my variation on eggplant is eggplant parmesan, which is done pretty much the traditional way. The only difference I do is when I make my tomato sauce with whole tomatoes, mm-hmm. I don't crush up the tomatoes. I leave them whole, and when I do the layering, I put a piece of tomato on top of each piece of eggplant and then bake it, and then it kind of becomes this, it flattens out, and it just becomes, the two flavors kind of merge together.
Oh,
well, roasted tomatoes
get really
sweet.
Yeah, and I like doing that. I do that with the chicken parmesan also.
Have you ever mixed, you know, this is just striking me as you're talking. You know what sounds really good to me? I love the idea of the tomatoes. Have you ever just sliced up tomatoes and used like a regular sauce but also sliced tomatoes with the eggplant? I mean, that kind of would give you this, if, say that someone already had a tomato sauce that they'd already made, you know, that might kind of give that same, you know, kind of rich tomato flavor next to the eggplant.
Yeah, I would try that next time.
Yeah.
But that was my 2 cents.
No, that's great.
Okay, Larry,
thank you.
Thanks.
That sounds
Take
good.
Care.
Another listener wonders if you have any suggestions for using eggplant on pizza.
Oh, you know, I love eggplant pizza. In fact, when I was a student at Columbia, I had my favorite pizza. There was a pizza place up there that had eggplant bacon pizza, both on the same. It was so good. And they fried their eggplant, and that's what I would do. I would fry the eggplant. I don't even know that I would bread it because you've got pizza dough. You don't actually want the breading. So what I would do is I would salt it just for about 15 minutes. Then I would flour it lightly and just fry it in olive oil. And after that, I would use it on top of pizza.
Now, you have given us two recipes to post on our website. One is for fresh corn polenta with eggplant, ratatouille, and ricotta. How do you make that?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. This is not a traditional ratatouille. Traditional ratatouille you do in a pot on the stove. This is just my own interpretation. I like to roast all the vegetables because I really like the way sort of vegetables with high water content, for example, zucchini, eggplant. I like what happens in the oven. I like that they really get crisp on the outside. I like that their interior stays nice and soft. So I roast them with a lot of olive oil. I roast peppers along with it. And then after they're all roasted, and I roast them on separate pans because the timing is different on each vegetable. So after I roast them, I put them together and I kind of almost turn them into this roasted vegetable salad. You could simmer it at that point. You don't have to. And I add tomatoes as well. And then I serve it on top of polenta. I just make regular polenta, but I take fresh corn kernels. I cut them right off the cob.
Throw this time
them
of
in.
Year is
yeah,
great.
It's, I put corn in everything this time of the year. Throw them right into the pot with the polenta as it's cooking. A lot of butter, because why not? And let the whole thing simmer. And it is so sweet. The corn kernels just bring out the sweetness of both the polenta and then of the vegetables. And then I serve it with dollops of fresh ricotta on top, although you don't have to. It's painting the lily a little bit. So,
But why not? Your other recipe is for roasted eggplant with green goddess dressing.
Yeah, that's another one. Like I said, I love to roast eggplant and then just throw whatever dressing I have, you know, I'm in the mood for.
You make your own green goddess
I
dressing.
I do. Green goddess is really easy. I do it in the blender, and the recipe I have up on your site, I think I use creme fraiche, but any tangy dairy will work. You could use buttermilk is great. It's a little bit lighter. Sour cream is terrific. And then the key to a really good green goddess is a ton of fresh herbs and, of course, garlic. You could add anchovies or not, depending on if you like them.
John in Manhattan writes, I visited Osaka, Japan last year and had senshu mizunasu, which is a pickled eggplant from Ooh. The neighborhood of senshu. The eggplant is slightly salty and crispy and less bitter than regular eggplant. They make a perfect complement to ice-cold beer.
You know what? That reminds me about something. I did a raw eggplant dish from a Japanese cookbook. Farm cooking? I think it's called Japanese farm cooking. I'm so sorry if I'm getting the title wrong. And it was exactly as you just described it. It's raw eggplant. You have to get really good fresh eggplant, thinly sliced, salted, and iced. And you just put it in the fridge. And it gets cold, it gets salty, and it was so good. And I think there was herbs in it. I think maybe it was shiso. I might have substituted basil because that's what I had. And that was a really unusual eggplant pickle because it got cured, the texture firmed up. Having it ice cold was heavenly. So that's another good raw eggplant dish.
Lisa from Queens suggests that if you're making an eggplant pizza, you put feta cheese on along with the tomato.
Oh, I love that idea. Good idea. And capers, maybe.
Yeah, but again, we're talking about things that will goose up the flavor level.
Well, okay, you can have – I'm not going to – I think that, again, if you're not so sure about eggplant, maybe you want to add a lot of other things that you know you like to the dish, and that way you increase your chance of enjoying it.
So are we going to see any eggplant recipes in one of your columns in the Times?
Yes. So the smoky eggplant dip that I was just talking about is definitely going to appear in the next few weeks. I'm not sure what I'm going to do about the skin because I have to retest the recipe with different types of eggplant. I can't ask people to find overgrown fairy tale eggplants to make this. That's just not fair. I got them for my CSA. So I don't know that it's going to work with all types of eggplant. But in any case, there will be a smoky eggplant dip with yogurt. And speaking of za'atar, I use za'atar as an inspiration to make an herbed grilled pita chip, which is really nice too. I make an oil with fresh oregano and fresh thyme in the blender, brush it on, and salt, brush it onto pita bread, and then grill that before cutting it up into chips, and that's really nice. So look for that in a couple of weeks.
And you can look for it in a couple of weeks on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, exactly, the Good Appetite column.
There's also the restaurant takeaway column on Wednesdays.
Yeah. That is sometimes in the paper, but it's always online, and that comes out either Monday or Tuesday, depending on
Wednesday, of course.
I know, because everyone goes to the dining section on Wednesday, so it'll be there. You'll find it on Wednesday also. This week I have a squid pajeon, which is a Korean pancake. If you love fried squid, which I love, you will love this recipe. It's brilliant. It's from Hanjin. In a restaurant in New York City.
Any new cookbooks in the works?
You know, I'm getting used to my new staff job at the Times, so I'm really focusing on doing my columns and doing videos. So not right now, but soon.
Meanwhile, there are around 36 or
so. Yeah, people have to catch up. You have to catch up, Leonard, before I can write any new ones, you know.
Thank you for being on our show again. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.